8:46 on a Tuesday morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Well, I mentioned earlier this morning, Ira, that, you know, I'm not John Beilein's spokesperson, but I was just putting a little word out. If someone really wanted to advertise ladders, you know, there's certainly a coach, the 2014 Coach of the Year, that could certainly be a good spokesperson for climbing a ladder and cutting down nets.
He looks great on a ladder, Sam.
And coaching the Big Ten Player of the Year and all league player in Nick Stauskas and all second team league player in Caris LeVert. Coach, first of all, congratulations for all the accolades. And more importantly, congratulations for the Big Ten regular season crown. Once again, we actually got a chance to see you celebrate a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a really great day, and you know, I used to, I do embrace it, even though I'm sitting there trying to stay composed. I didn't know any of that was going to happen, and boy, they did a wonderful job of putting that together. I'm sure glad it made me. If I'd known they were going to do all those things, I would have been much more nervous for the game. And that was incredible what our administration has done to put together an atmosphere at Michigan for home basketball games that is second to none. And I think you guys will admit it wasn't always like that. To say the least, right?
No doubt, Coach, no doubt.
Absolutely. You even made that remark after the game. You talked about how far
there was 4,000 people at our first game, and we were lying probably about the attendance. It didn't seem like there was, you know, 1,500 people there. It was probably how many season tickets had been sold. People had them for years. But at the same time, there's been so many people behind the scenes, you know, all these awards and all these championships, and there's so much thrown at the team and the head coaches, and there's such a support group behind us. We couldn't do it without all of them.
But those guys couldn't do it, Coach, without you putting those great players on the floor, coaching those great players. It's been a joy to watch, and I'm sure the Michigan fans say the same thing. So while you give the credit to everyone behind the scenes, the fans are continuing to enjoy celebrating what your team is doing on the floor.
Well, thank you. And this is the coaching staff. It's a coaching staff that does all those things. And so it's really it's just great. And so we got to celebrate it, but now we got more business to go into right now with the Big Ten Championship tournament looming, and you know, I think we're pretty assured of a NCAA bid, so let's go from here.
You don't say, Coach. Yeah, that come a long way in that regard too. So let's back up to the Indiana game just a little bit, because you mentioned the coaching staff, and I guess I'm kind of curious about within the game when you make the decision to go through the go to the 1-3-1. Then more broadly, when it became such an abhorrent thing for you to say, go zone, because you've made it clear in a number of press conferences now, you hate going to it, and it really is incumbent upon your assistants to convince you to go to it during the course of a game.
Well, here's the thing that I'm more comfortable with it now because we practice it more. It's an extremely unique zone. And the rules are so different than your man-to-man. You're going to push people certain ways instead of other ways. It's not just, hey, line up in a zone and stand there with your hands up. There are so many little rules within it, and it takes time to coach. And I think that we've had a lot of attrition over the last couple of years, so it's been hard to – we have a second group of slides in this zone we've never got to. We were terrific at it, West Virginia, but we just haven't got to those points. But our kids are more comfortable, and what the key is, you have to have somebody at the top that is quick and is long and can touch a ball every now and then. And Caris LeVert and Zach Irvin both can do that. And I've had quick and long guys that don't touch the ball. These guys both touch the ball, and if they touch it, it's just an automatic basket at the other end. You saw that Caris got the steal. He went down, did his Euro step, scored. It is it can be an offense for you as well.
Yeah, it certainly stemmed the tide somewhat, because up to that point, Coach, it was pretty tough staying in front of the Hoosiers down there.
Well, you know, I mean, you watch athletes all the time and in football, and you know people with downhill speed. And when you watch Yogi and you watch the other wings there, and Sheehy's a great back cutter, I mean, we got pretty good coaching staff. with the new, given the new rules, there is very, very little chance of stopping somebody that is going downhill full speed. There's very little that you can do. And so you have to be, we have to be able to do different things. I mean, watch the number of teams right now that are sending four people back. I mean, they're sending four people back and five back on defense because the fast break, if people just go headstrong as fast as you can. And I really don't think this is the way the rule was supposed to do. It was supposed to clean up the game, make it more of a finesse game. No, it's made it all speed. So get the fastest guys in the world and dribble it at the basket, and there's nothing you can do. So I think we got to continue to look at this and how we can make it more adaptable to the true intention.
You know, early in the game, Coach, they got some early looks as well, early shot clock looks by running on makes and misses. I mean, you certainly expected them to run on your misses, but they were down the floor as soon as they took the ball out of bounds, it seemed like, and kind of early on they had some success doing that against you.
Well, Indiana's one of those teams, and they're actually they could be better after a basket because the four or the five is going to take the ball in bounds while everybody's retreating, and I don't care who you are, you make a basket. There's a little bit of a hesitation and celebration that you are sort of jogging up the court. That's what you have done your whole life. And they take advantage of that by getting the ball out quickly and advancing it while you are still not even celebrating. Just you, if you take a second to get relaxed, so they practice it over and over and over again. And it's you have to have a big man take the ball out of bounds. Like we have the two man take it out of bounds. But that also allows us to attack any pressure. It allows us to get into offense quicker. It does a lot of good things for us. But it's very more difficult to defend that than it is a fast break, where a regular fast break. And I know that's hard for people to believe, but it is.
We're talking to Michigan basketball coach John Beilein here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So you start to get some stops, and they keep it close, though. But late in the game, you get a big clutch shot from Glenn Robinson III. It was a game where he nailed that big three. But, Coach, it also seemed to me, and you tell me if you noticed this, but it seemed to me of all the aggressiveness that we've seen this year, that seemed to me to be his most aggressive game, putting the ball on the deck and getting to the rim.
Well, he has had four games now where I felt his shot won the game. We go back to the Stanford game where we isolated him. We had fouled out both big guys, isolated him. He drove to the hoop, finished with his left hand. We go to the Ohio State game where he did not play most of the second half. Zach Irvin was really playing well. And virtually the same thing happened. I think Karras drove the lane and kicked it to him, and he hit a three, and it was like a two-point game with about a minute or something to go, or maybe a minute and a half. It was really tight, and the momentum was changing. Then, of course, the Purdue game where he makes a shot that was incredible, and then now this one. So he's been frustrated himself with his inability to be consistent from three, but he hasn't stopped him from working on it. And that one was he caught it with great balance. He found the seams. He had great follow-through. It went right through the middle of the basket.
Coach, can you, as much as you can reveal to outsiders, can you tell us what you noticed different? Because we did an exercise this morning. I said, Ira, go look at the stats and look at the number of shots that Nick Stauskas put up, that Karras LeVert put up, and Glenn Robinson put up. And I knew the answer, that, you know, Glenn has gotten as many shots as those other guys have all season long. He's not that far. He's like five or six shots behind. And yet his averages are somewhat lower than those guys. But lately he's been much more efficient. Is it just a mental thing for him? What's been the difference for Glenn in these last five games?
Oh, he has a different game in some respects. But he's, you know, Glenn is a, like where Nick is a shooter, Glenn is a guy who can shoot. And there's different things. The mentality, his mentality has been different, where he sort of plays off action and just shoots it when he's open, passes it when he's not, where the other two might be more hunters than he is. He's hunting more, and we want him to hunt more. And he's working at a skill set that allows him to hunt more. And that's been a big change.
I hear you. Well, so as you mentioned, the Big Ten tournament is upon you. So what's, you know, coaches have different philosophies as to how they gear up for a tournament. I heard Bob Knight talking about this, and he hates postseason conference tournaments altogether because he wants his guys to be fresh for the Big Ten tournament. So how do you handle practice heading into the Big Ten tournament? Is it the same as it has been all season? Do you taper off some? How do you handle that?
Well, pretty much the same, but we will taper off given the fact that the goal is to win three games in 3 days. So we did come back right away Sunday, and we lifted really hard, and the kids were really sore yesterday. So when they're sore, you need to practice again. So we went for an hour and 50 minutes yesterday, and it was hard, and it was good. Sort of simulate what a game would be, and now we'll go into recovery mode where today's off, very light, maybe 80 minutes or something on Wednesday, and then maybe 45 minutes on Thursday, and then go play Friday at noon. So you don't want to do too much, but you got to stay fresh. You got to stay, keep your habits the same. You don't want to just go into shutdown right now. They're really into a rhythm, and you don't want to disrupt that rhythm. So you want to have some practices be just like games, so you can keep the rhythm going.
All right, Coach. Well, the Wolverines take the court noon on Friday against the winner of the Illinois-Indiana game. And I don't know if of all your Big Ten tournaments, coaches, we'll close this way. This one seems to be the most open from the standpoint of the teams on the lower end of the league have shown the ability all year long to nip the teams at the top.
Yeah, without question. This is, as we go into these things, you know, watch for the teams that are on the bubble, and watch for the teams that are not even. There's three groups of teams. There's teams that have no shot unless they win it all. You think those guys are hungry? I mean, they've worked all year long. And then you got teams that are on the bubble that to get to semifinal or the championship game may put them in, right? And then you have the teams that are already in, and they have to have that same mentality, that same win at all costs type of mentality, or they don't survive. They may have that, and the other team just plays better. So there's a whole bunch of scenarios going into it. Our goal is to be there on Sunday and watch the selection show on Sunday with another big championship trophy.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, man, congratulations again. All the postseason accolades for you and your team, and good luck in the tournament coming up this weekend.
Thank you very much. We got a great team, and as I said, the coach, you can't say these awards, whether they're, a team, Nick could not do it without his teammates. No Coach of the Year award can come without that coaching staff that I have behind me and the support staff that we have behind me. Absolutely terrific. So thanks to everybody, and thanks to all those people that have went through a great, great winter for us, support us all the way. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was Michigan head basketball coach and Big Ten Coach of the Year, John Beilein. And, man, Ira, you look back, and I think back to even a couple of years ago, and I tell you, it was the first time that I noticed, wait, Coach Beilein just does not want to go to the zone. And it was one of those instances where in that Illinois game afterward, he talked about the coaches, his assistants saying, hey, we need to play some zone here. And he said, okay. And so there have been at least three times this season where he said, I don't want to go to the zone. My assistants convinced me to go to it. And he explained why. He said they don't practice it enough for him to feel comfortable. But clearly you got some erasers in there. And the erasers at the top of the zone, Caris LeVert, and that outstanding length that he has really changes the face of things at the top of that zone and allows them to stay in front of some people. 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, certainly in front of Indiana. 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, Ann Arbor, Accumulus Station.